Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're damn right. The Drive is live, and The Drive is live here on a Football Friday here at Raven Tower. Come on out to Raven Tower. It's a good time. We see some people starting to fall in already. And there you go. All right, there you go. We got one in the building. But come on out here and join us. Again, if you're in the building or you're on your way, you can get a part of our raffle. We have multiple prizes to give away. Just grab a ticket. You got a chance to win Academy Sports and Outdoor gift cards. You got a chance to win a free oil change. I ain't gonna lie. I just walked in to get my oil change earlier this week, and I walked out of there wishing I had a free oil change myself. But you get a chance to get a free oil change. I tell you, man, Tyler, they get my ass every time. You know, I walked in there to get an oil change. You know what I came out of there with, Tyler?
A little less money.
I came out of here with a tire rotation and two new tires.
That's
I came out of there. They get my ass every single time. My man said, ooh, got a chunk missing on that sidewall on that tire right there, and there's a bubble back there, man. I think you might want to go ahead. We got those two in stock. I said, damn, really? He said, ooh, these are under warranty. All you got to pay is the tax and the labor. I said, well, I can do that. I ain't ready to buy these brand new tires. I'll ride these out till I lose them. But you got a chance to get a free oil change, no matter what type of vehicle it is. Tomball Ford will hook you up, and you can roll in there and get a free oil change. And the big one at the end, in the 5 o'clock hour, a pair of tickets to the Colts Texans game. A pair of tickets to the Colts Texans game, the last game of the season that could loom very, very large in terms of its importance. You got a chance to win all of those here at Raven Tower, 310 North Street here in Houston. Come on out and have a good time and hang out with us as The Drive is live. T. Mill is in the building doing his thing. Clint and I, we're here, so come on out, hang out. Food truck, I believe, will be coming in a little bit later on. I had a hell of a steak last time. I remember Clint banged out the boudin ball or a link.
They had a big link here, big thick link here at the Raven, morning. Man. Yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, T.
I did not have the feed up, but I just envisioned Tyler tripping to run to the mic to get that out.
It's a good thing my shoes are tied.
Big link. big link.
Girthy link.
I just felt like Tyler was getting there. All right. Big game this weekend, and I think the injury thing is the first thing maybe to jump out with, Clint, and with the Texans, their cornerback, Kamari Lassiter, was at practice today, but he was working off to the side with the staff. So he wasn't participating in the walkthrough with the starters. He was off to the side with the staff and dealing with a foot injury. Questionable at best is what people are saying. We'll see exactly how they designate him in terms of the injury when the injury report comes out here a little bit. It's official. But he was at least working
at practice on the side with the staff. We'll see with that foot if he is able to go. We know they're going to be down Tim Settle for the year, but Kamari Laster, that is the latest up-to-date update with him on that foot. So we'll see. Still, I guess it's on the table, Clint, that he misses this game, being that this will be basically 3 days that he's missed of practice on the field. Today, at least he was out there, but obviously not out there in walkthroughs with the team.
Yeah, again, I mean, this is the Tim Settle one is the one that hurts, and this one on top of it's going to be painful if he can't get back out there. When they're out there on the side, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, especially when it's a foot and they're moving and they're out there, is there still a chance? Is it just being involved? You know, Kamari Lassiter's a guy that Ron, you look at it, he's a guy that probably going to be out there if he was in a cast.
Yeah, Clint, I'll be honest with you. I expect that Kamari Laster is going to play.
You do?
I if he doesn't, I think it's going to – like, they have held him down and said no. I think – what is it, Friday? I think he is going to give every single bit that he can. And if it were me, he's just the type of guy, man. Him, Aziz, Will – they got a bunch of guys out there. I think Jalen only couldn't play because of concussion. You just can't do nothing with.
Right.
I think he's going to give every effort to go out there and play. Now, Clint, clearly he's hampered. Like, clearly he's not himself. And now the wonder is, all right, well, what does he look like with this foot issue, right? Like, what does he look like, Matt? And then how do they have to use him? Right, because I think a lot of the game, he's going to be matched up with Worthy, Hollywood Brown, or Tyquan Thornton. All of those guys are speed dudes, right?
Yep.
I think that's who he will be matched up on the outside with. Unless they run him inside with Rashee Rice, I don't think they'll do that much. I think he'll be matched up against speed guys. And does that mean they're going to play him backed off some? Because of the foot issue and the injury, like, and how does he do? You talked about this. I can't remember if we were on or off here, but you rest assured, quick things that the Chiefs are going to try to do, a lot of mesh routes, a lot of crossing routes in man if they have to do that. Is he hampered coming across the field and cutting and turning with that foot? Now, I think he's going to try to give it a go. It is to me now. How much does this affect how D'Amico and Burke have to use him and how his game differs?
You're right. Yeah. I have no idea what to think of it, man. I don't have a ton of confidence, if I'm being honest with you, being on the sideline at practice today and being a foot with the corner, not only with the corner, you're talking about running and cutting. You're talking about one of the more physical guys on the field. And boy, if there's just anything at all going on with that foot, man, I don't know if he can perform his job. Number one. Number two, you got to look at this thing longer term. Is it worth going out there? What is the injury specifically? Is it worth going out there and making it worse and losing him down the stretch when you've got a potential playoff run right here in the next month? So, a lot at stake if he does play.
And again, if he isn't able to go, Clint, you're down to Tremont Smith, who has stepped in because Stingley has had some injury issues and been in and out of the lineup. You're down to Tremont Smith stepping in.
You'd rather not see it against the Kansas City Chiefs and the speed that you mentioned. But the truth of the matter is two things. Tremont's been good when he's played this year. And D'Amico has been unbelievable in a sense, in several ways, but obviously in a sense of overcoming injuries, specifically in the secondary. And so – I'm sure he'll have a plan that works. I'm sure he'll have a plan that fits Tremont, not so much as Kamari. I think they're two different players, obviously. So I think D'Amico, I got confidence that D'Amico will make it work one way or the other. But this is a tough decision for the Texans to decide, do you risk – is the risk worth the reward?
And I think the decision is going to be on the Texans because I think Kamari Laster is going to do everything that he possibly can to prove, I can go. Just let me – that just seems to be that cat's mindset.
Right.
All right, also on the other side, Andy Reid spoke to the media today. He said the corner, Chris Roland Wallace, who had been playing in the slot, he missed last week's game. They've already ruled him out with a back issue, but – in terms of the other two offensive linemen, Trey Smith and Juwan Taylor, Trey Smith is having an issue with the ankle, and then Juwan Taylor is having a tricep issue. He said, with both of those guys, they're making progress, but it is wait and see. He also said that it would be a stretch right now for right guard Trey Smith and tackle Juwan Taylor to play, though he says Smith is further along than Juwan Taylor. Your read on that?
Well, I told you yesterday, Trey Smith is the one to watch for me. I mean, the tackles are going to need a lot of help any way you slice it with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson out there. So the Trey Smith part, interior-wise, is what I got my eyes on. We obviously don't have Tim settled.
Yeah.
We're missing some interior pieces. Any way that their interior offensive line is weakened to keep them from being able to run the football and to keep it, to allow us to have a better chance to push the pocket in pass protection would be a plus. So Trey Smith is the one I'm keeping my eye on. I would rather Juwan Taylor be the one that's a little further along, a little closer to playing, to be completely honest with you. But
really?
But yeah, absolutely, absolutely. No,
even
no
even though that is you've been on that all week. Even though it is Hunter and Will Anderson, as you've said, they can help that.
I mean, Juwan Taylor's not going to slow down either one of those guys. He's a good player. It can hold his own maybe, but those two guys are going to eat either way it goes. Trey Smith has the ability of really creating a firm interior O-line.
And the run game help,
giving Pat somewhere to slide up into, give the run game somewhere to escape to. Trey Smith is the one that's a little bit of a difference maker here, and he's going against the Texans. If there is a weakness, we call it a weakness, the interior defensive line. So Trey Smith is the one I'm keeping an eye on. So, but looks like, if I'm reading to that, Andy, it looks like he's going to play.
Little intel of people I've talked to, I don't think either one of them are going to go.
Boy, I'm going to tell you, if you're Trey Smith and you're close and it's an ankle.
He said he's further along.
Well, whatever it may be. This is a game. You lose this game, you're done.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's just my man got a high ankle sprain and a low ankle sprain, both ankles. Same ankle. That same ankle has a high ankle sprain and the lower ankle, so we'll see. But the surprising thing is I would have thought Juwan Taylor was further along than him. But that's one here. All right, let's get into some matchups, Clint. What are you seeing here? This is something that Texans fans should watch. When the Texans have the ball, when they're on offense, what for you are the key matchups?
The best player on their defense. The one guy that can wreck a game, that can wreck a situation. If this thing comes down to, hey, man, we got to have a touchdown. We're down four, and it's a third down or a fourth down or a goal line. We've seen Chris Jones just stand up and be a one-man wrecking crew. And so this game is about Chris Jones versus our interior offensive line. That's been better, but I don't think this is something that we all of a sudden feel like we've got Chris Jones figured out. I know they handled Simmons from Tennessee well. They've handled some of the better defensive linemen that they've come up against. They've handled them well, kept them from wrecking shop, if you will. But Chris Jones has the ability in critical moments to make game-changing, game-ending type plays. And so I think big picture, Chris Jones versus our interior offensive line, particularly in passing situations. I do think that we're going to have to spin the ball around the park a little bit. So particularly in passing situations, Ed Ingram, Andrews, that right side in particular, they make me a little nervous in pass protection.
Yeah.
When you put the Chris Jones dynamic across the ball from them, they make me real nervous.
And to be honest, Chris was not playing anywhere near what you normally expect of him. But since the bye week, the last couple of games against Denver, against the Colts and Dallas, he's looked closer to the Chris Jones you've seen. Now, he gets double teamed damn near every play, definitely every pass play. We'll see if the Texans do that too. But yeah, he is important because honest to God, Clint, at times if he doesn't get close rushing the passer, nope. They got a blitz, and that's the only way that they can get pressure. All right, for you, when the Texans have the ball, your thoughts? What's the matchup you're looking at when the Texans have the ball?
Well, this is a little bit of a piggyback on the conversation we had a little earlier. To start the show is the Kamari Lassiter. If I'm going to assume right now that Kamari Lassiter is not playing, right? So the key matchup immediately becomes
that's where you're leaning.
Absolutely. You're leaning. Yeah, okay. Even if he does play, he's got a bad wheel.
Yeah,
it immediately goes to, and I'll narrow it down to Worthy and Brown, the guys that can take the top off of defense, the guys that are going to that can run by you. versus any corner not named Derek Stingley. So if Kamari plays and he's only got one wheel, that's the matchup that could be a problem. If Tremont Smith plays and you got to play a little bit looser coverage and now you're throwing underneath, or if you try to play man, those guys can get over the top. That matchup of Worthy and or Brown versus any corner not named Derek Stingley is the key.
Yeah, someone texted in. They're a little concerned. Can't give up 7 points to find out if Lassiter is limited when the Texans' offense can't score.
When it's a wheel, man, it's dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. All right. No, I'm with you on that with Tremont Smith, the other guys, because the Chiefs, this is what their thought process was. All right, we got Rice, we got Worthy, we got Hollywood Brown, Tyquan Thornton has come on. Like, two of those guys have to face probably team second and third corners, and if Lassiter's not able to go, you may even go deeper down there. The other speed kid, he may have to jump in the game to play some corner. Yeah, there's some interesting matchups on both sides. 713-572-4610. What matchups to you are the ones? If you're looking for what Clint said, Clint had to say, Chris Jones against that interior three. Sometimes they kick him out to the tackles, but I'm with you. I think they'll probably look at Andrews. They'll look at Ed Ingram, and they'll look at Titus Howard. By the way, remember Titus Howard, the reason why a lot of people believe he could play guard was the one game he had against Chris Jones years ago at NRG where he handled Chris Jones pretty well in that game. So he has had some success at guard playing against Chris Jones over there. So a lot of interesting matchups in this big game. We'll take a look at this. All right, Clint really believes, and I'll be honest with you, talking to Clint, talking to our engineer Andy, my experience last week, I didn't really believe this was that big of a deal, but I'm maybe starting to come along to where these guys are. We'll let you know about something in this game that could be a major factor.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Raven Tower, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There we go. We are live on a Football Friday, and here in the city, here in Houston, here at Raven Tower. Come on out. Enjoy yourself. I know people are on their way to getting off work here coming up and getting ready for the weekend, and there is no better place to come out and do that with. We've had a great time here in the past. Last time we had a really good crowd out here. I remember the commissioner, Mary and company, made their way on out here. Indoor, outdoor TVs, indoor, outdoor, great drinks, food truck on the way. This is the spot to be at here on a Football Friday. No better place than here. And you got a chance to win multiple prizes, including Texans Colts tickets later on this season. So you don't want to miss that. All right, Clint, this is something to you. I'm starting to come around on a little bit as being a factor. But you think the weather has a potential to be a factor in this game. By the way, game time temp, 23 degrees at 7:20 in Kansas City on the field. You think this has a chance to be a real factor in this game?
Absolutely, 100%.
Who do you think this favors, by the way?
Oh, it favors Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, it favors Kansas City having. I mean, they play outdoors. They play in this stuff all the time. They've won monster games in this stuff. So absolutely, it is a factor. Now, I mean, you can be tough if you want to, but the reality of it is at night, 23 degrees, an indoor football team, typically in Houston, all training camp, you're fighting heat. All you're worried about is heat. All you're worried about is, do we need to go indoors? Is there a little rain, a little lightning? You have zero experience over the last 12 months in any level of 23 degree freezing weather. Playing football and look, if it's clear and it's dry, then you know, it'll be less, I think, of an issue. But 23 degrees, that ball is extremely hard. As I said yesterday, the snap, the quarterback, exchange, quarterback center exchange, the ball handling in the backfield, the quarterback's grip on the ball, throwing it. I mean, the receiver's catching it. Anybody's got to handle the football. It is an absolute game changer any way you look at it. I mean, it's and whether they handle it well is yet to be seen. We'll see. I mean, C.J. Stroud didn't seem to have a problem with it when he was at Ohio State.
Yeah.
So, if he's got a monster hand, and I don't know what he measured. I don't know what his hand measured in at Ohio State or in the combine, but the reality of it is if he's got a monster hand, then it'll be less of an issue. But
It didn't seem to bother them last year. They played two games there last year in December and January. I didn't think weather was a big deal. Like you said, CJ played at Ohio State. Nico played at Michigan. All the Cyclone kids played at Iowa State. There are several Kansas City kids actually on the team, Urshery, Noel. So at first I wasn't thinking that was a big deal. I ain't going to lie to you. Even though those guys played there, this is something from personal experience. Like, my family and friends have looked at me like, man, it ain't that cold. Like, it is a bit of something when you have lived in the amazing climate here that we get here in Houston. And then you go down there, and I was down there for Thanksgiving, and I got a taste of that 34 last week. Woo! Like, hey, that was it. Like, it felt different than 34. Like, 34 used to be for me a hoodie.
Yeah.
Like, I get a hoodie, man, T-shirt underneath the hoodie. 34 last week was a hoodie, a bubble coat, a hat. And I was struggling. So like I lived in that climate for 30 almost
adapted.
40 years. You, yeah, 30
see,
plus
you,
years
you've
of my
adapted
life.
Adapted down here, right? I mean, it's what you're used to, right?
That's probably been like about the last 3-4 year visit.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you get down here, you're exposed to the heat is the only issue, and you get used to that heat and that cold. You don't think about it until that hawk hits you dead in the face, and it's like, whoa, that's a little different right there.
I don't think you understand how much I love the fact that you know what that hawk means.
Boy, you can't play ball and not know what that hawk means.
When that hawk comes sliding towards your neck, boy, that hit that neck. Woo! You got to get out
there for a while. That, and you, hey,
you
turn
want,
red.
Hey, you want to quit smoking? Go to a cold climate.
Yeah.
Try to go outside. You'll get it.
I mean, not only that. I mean, I'm glad you put it into perspective, literally talking about Houston to Kansas City. But Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle wrote this story on creative ways NFL players keep warm in cold weather games. And he cited, I don't know if I didn't read the article completely, so I don't know who all was in it. But the Texans, Cade Stover, a pass catcher, by the way, lathers Vaseline over every inch of his body. Right, I mean, a pass catcher is going to lather up with Vaseline because of the cold. A guy that played at Ohio State, a guy that needs to catch passes, is still going to lather himself up with Vaseline. That seems like maybe his D end, his defensive end world he lived in before he moved to tight end. But that's how cold it is. Tytus Howard's going to put some warm skin cream, which I've never heard of, to be honest with you. Warm skin cream, and then wears latex gloves under his gloves that he's already going to have. And that's the offensive line. He don't have to touch the ball, didn't catch the ball, didn't snap the ball. And so
that's a kid from Alabama.
Right. And then all of a sudden, Danielle Hunter says, I'm immune to it after 9 years in Minnesota. So, again, that in itself, played 9 years in Minnesota, so it doesn't bother him as much. Yeah. That tells you that it clearly, if you hadn't played 9 years in Minnesota or you hadn't grew up in Kansas City, when you go back, it's going to hurt. It's going to be a little different. And look, I'm not saying it's a major ordeal. It may not hurt him. But when it's all said and done, it is something that changes the approach, it changes the dynamic, and it definitely can change the game in a major way if you let it.
713-572-416, YouTube and Twitch. Do you believe weather is a factor? It'll be 23 degrees at kickoff, which means it's dropping throughout the night. And by the way, just a kind of point of reference, the Texans have played 5 games outside of domes. And they have been 64 degrees in Tennessee, 78 degrees in Baltimore, 85 degrees in Jacksonville, 83 degrees in L.A., and then they played 56 degrees is the coldest temperature they played in Seattle on Monday night. So that is a point of reference where they've been. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal for the players, and I still don't. I think maybe we'll see. It's going to get cold. It's going to drop. This isn't going to be like the Miami playoff game the Chiefs had a couple years ago where several people walked out of the stadium, fans, I mean, with frostbite.
Amputated feet.
Like, I don't think it ain't going to be that. The one person, though, I do worry about for the Texans is Fairbairn. I think the Chiefs have a decided advantage with Harrison Butker and kicking in cold weather, kicking in bad weather games, because he's done it and he's made big kicks in those. And if you remember, we talked about, I didn't really notice it much with the players, but with him maybe a little different. Last year, they played in December in the regular season. On a cold day, he missed an extra point after Tank went down. Yeah, go ahead, take that one, Reggie. And then in the playoff,
put your Nigerian spin on that joint.
Yes, just put a Hawaiian spin on. And then in the playoff game, if you remember, he missed a field goal that just never had a chance.
Yeah, good point.
And then he missed an extra point, and then he got one blocked in there. So he had four kicks that he missed in that weather. Like CJ, the offensive line, those guys, I'm not really as worried. I did like the point Andy made during the break about Kamari Laster with that foot. I don't know how great cold weather is going to be, if that tightened up or whatever with his foot. But Fairbairn, to me, in a game and a team that relies on getting all the points that they can get, in a team where we've watched him have games where he's had to make five field goals, he's had to make multiple field goals, and we look at it, they lost last year by 8 in the regular season. They lost last year by 9 in the playoff game, and that's 4 kicks combined he missed in that weather. So, if anything, that may be the one that I wonder about is Fairbairn and his leg kicking field goals. So there, yeah, I'm not sure about the other guys, but that one. That one was potentially something. All right, let's head to the phone lines. We get back. Danon Hughes, who is the radio analyst for the Chiefs, he'll call the game in Kansas City, and he'll join us. We'll get his thoughts on this game coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Raven Tower, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here. Raven Tower here, 310 North Street here in Houston. And if you are getting off work, making your way around, trying to figure out what the hell you want to do, come on out here. What's the music venue that we're next to?
White Oak.
White Oak, White Oak. If you're looking for a point of reference.
A little landmark.
Right, a little landmark right next to, thank you, I couldn't find it. Yeah. Right next to White Oak Music Venue. Raven Tower, great drinks, food truck on the way in, and it'll be a good time in here. All right, let's head to the phone lines and talk to our guy, Danon Hughes. Danon Hughes, who is a former Kansas City Chief, also the Kansas City Chiefs color analyst for the radio network there. Danon, we love that you have joined us back this. This week, somebody texted in. I'm telling you, Danon, I told my man Clint, I said, it makes me so happy that he knows what it means when it says that Hawk hit you. Not a lot of my white brothers know what that Hawk means.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, that Hawk is out. It's out. I know about it. I knew about it as a little kid in Jersey, and then when I went to the University of Iowa, and definitely here in Kansas City. So the Hawk is hitting for sure.
Hey, bro, I'm going to tell you, that Hawk didn't make too many trips south to Houston, but when it did, boy, you felt that something. Get you dead in the face now. It wasn't Iowa or New Jersey, but when it made its way down here, boy, it made an appearance.
Speaking of that, Dana, we just talked about this in our last segment. How big a deal do you think the weather potentially will be in this game coming up?
Well, first I have to say, man, I haven't gotten much sleep this week. I feel like I've been getting up in a cold sweat and just screaming out Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., just randomly. So I got the shakes a little bit. So, you know, hopefully you don't hold it against me if you can hear some fatigue in my voice during this segment. But yeah, man, I think the weather is a factor. The weather. You know, the 12th man at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium is a factor, and you guys have been down this road before. Last year, playing you guys twice in just a few weeks here, and I remember that the weather was a factor then. So, you know, at this point where we're sitting at 6-6, we'll take whatever advantages we'll take. And we know we got to run the table, and it starts this week with a hungry, very, very dangerous and hungry Houston Texans team. So it's the next man up philosophy, and we just got to get the job done.
Hey, man, when you look at this matchup in the recent history, the big, at least down here, I mean, I'm sure that the big, you know, not outlier, but y'all's interior pressure, Spags' ability to dial up interior pressure, whether it be with backers, safety, whoever the hell it may be, it's been able to get home. And if you look at some of the stats, I heard some of the TV talking heads talking about some of the stats that Spags' pressures aren't getting home as much this year as they have previously. Is that something that's on y'all's radar, or do you think those numbers may be telling a little bit of a lie?
No, it's been one of the stories of this season. Our defense, as far as pressures and creating turnovers, just has not been the same as it's been in the past. And I don't know what the deal is. You guys have been around the game of football. I've been around for a long period of time. You can have the most intricate, creative blitz packages drawn up, but ultimately, if you can't get home with four guys, then those blitz packages are only going to work but so much. And what I've seen recently, for most of this season actually, is when teams have been successful against us, basically what they've done is they've kept their running back in or kept the tight end in, picked up the blitzer, and then if the blitz did not come, they just leaked out that running back or tight end, and now that guy became the final outlet for the quarterback. And if we're not able to get home, then you're exposing other guys like our linebackers and Nick Bolton or Drew Tranquil to a whole lot of open space with either a running quarterback or a running back that's just gotten a swing pass out of the backfield, and that has extended drives. So, like, you can't be a one-trick pony. You got to be able to be versatile, and it just hasn't worked out for us this year. You know, this game comes down to, just like with you guys on defense, I mean, if you guys try to make a steady day of pressuring Patrick Mahomes with the blitz, like, it could be a long afternoon, or I should say long evening for y'all. And it's the same thing for us. If we cannot get home with four guys, Chris Jones, George Karloftis, Charles Omenihu, Derek Nnadi, Jerry Tillery, Mike Pinnell, those are our interior defensive linemen. If we can't get home and create havoc and discomfort for C.J. Stroud with four of those guys, and we have to be relegated to blitzing, you guys will do to us just like the Cowboys did to us, just like the Broncos did to us.
Danon Hughes, analyst for the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network, he'll be calling this game in Kansas City for with the Texans and the Chiefs. A lot of people are looking at this defense, and there are not a lot of holes with this defense. We've watched every single one of these games. You talk about cold sweats with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr., Derek Stingley on the back ends, not a walk in the park. We'll see about Kamari Laster. That could be a big injury front news as he hasn't practiced this week. How do you think Andy Reid, because listen, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, those are Hall of Fame guys, how do you think they're going to go about attacking this defense, knowing the potential deficiencies they may have up front?
Hopefully aggressively, and that's not a slight towards the Texans. I just feel like we cannot be tentative. You cannot afford to be tentative. You can feel out the defense a little bit, but I think when you look at this defense, you look at Patrick Mahomes' abilities, if we start consistently throwing the ball horizontally, like to the sideline, swing routes, if we're trying to negate some of your speed with flip passes and jet sweeps, and some of those things, bubble screens, that's where your defensive backfield will be able to attack the line of scrimmage and come up and make big hits. And then we'll be relegated to third and long, third and extra long. Like, we're going to have to take our chances down the field. And in this circumstance, with what's on the line, like, I'd hate to come out midnight, Sunday night, and saying, man, we kind of kept things in the holster, and now we're out of the playoffs. Like, I feel like everybody's got a job to do. Everybody gets paid. We may be down up to three offensive linemen, so we're going to have reserves in the offensive line position. Hopefully that doesn't affect aggressiveness by Matt Nagy and Andy Reid in the play calling. And for the most part, whatever plays are called, I'm hoping that Patrick stays upright or at least feels comfortable to deliver the ball down the field. We do have some weapons outside. We do have speed, but he's going to need time to be able to deliver to those guys. And we're going to have to take advantage of any miscues that Houston provides us. When we played the Cowboys last week, we did not get a hit on Dak Prescott. We did not put him down. We did not have a sack in the game. They converted multiple third and long, third and extra long situations to extend their drives and put points on the board. Like, that's been the recipe for the lack of successes that we've had, especially on the road. Now, fortunately here, we've played much better. We're 5-1 on the season at home, and we just got to think of it from that perspective. There's a lot of positives that we can exploit in this game offensively and defensively, but we got to do it. Like this is uncharted territory, guys. You might hear some desperation in my voice, but this is uncharted territories for the Kansas City Chiefs. We have not been down this road before where we're sitting here in the beginning of December talking about must-win games for postseason. Usually we're talking about it for seeding or for number one seeds and hosting AFC championships. We're talking about playoff lives. And I think the reality set in Thanksgiving night when we lost against the Cowboys, like, wow, we're not in the driver's seat. But technically we are, because all we have to do is just keep winning and we'll be able to play more in January.
Well, Dana, I'm going to be honest with you. It'd feel real good as an old boy that was born and raised down here in Houston. It'd feel real good to go ahead and finish that job that them Cowboys started. It'd feel real good to go ahead and just finish that job that they started on y'all's ass, Dana. I'm going to be honest with you.
Hey, you guys down in Texas, you know, you watch those old Westerns. They had those most wanted pictures up around town. Like, I feel like we're most wanted guys around the NFL. Whether you guys get a chance to finish us off or the Chargers will try to finish us off, and then Christmas night, the Denver Broncos, the hated rivals, will have an opportunity. So it's no cakewalk for the rest of the road here in Kansas City, and we got to know that everybody, including the Texans, want to be the team to say, we put the nail in the coffin of the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2025 season. So a lot is on the line. We know there's some extra incentives. There's history. We've beaten y'all the last five times. So we know that there's some hangover effects there that we're going to have to try to quash.
Real quick, Danan, how you feeling about it? From how you feeling, and what are you feeling the people back in Kansas City are feeling about this game?
I think people are still in shock because they, you know, you look up and you're like, how do we get to this point? How do we lose five of our six games by one score when we won 17 between the last two seasons to break a record and 12 last year? How do we get that whole thing flipped around? So I think there's some shock, but I also think there's some confidence because, again, we haven't been down this road before. Like, we're expecting, you know, it's kind of one of those deals where you know, you're a kid on Christmas and you always got that grandparent that gets you a really cool gift. You're just waiting for them to show up. And then one year they show up in the morning and the next year they don't get there until night. You're just sitting at the door waiting. Like, we're waiting for the big gift from the grandparents. Like, we're waiting for this whole thing to turn around. And until they count us out, like, we feel like we still got life. And we just know that the next man up is the Houston Texans. They're going to come in here with some fire, and we got to deliver.
You're going to open up that door on Sunday, and the Grinch is going to be standing there looking at your ass.
All right, Dana, man.
Don't call me next week if we lose, but call me if we do win. How about that?
Dana, I told you they've been on my ass, Dana. I told you. They've been on me. That's all right, though. We'll see it. All right, man. Appreciate you joining us, man. And enjoyed this huge, huge game that has huge ramifications
Man.
When it comes to the playoffs. We'll talk to you down the line.
I appreciate you, brothers.
All right, that's Danon Hughes. He'll be on the call. Essentially, he is the Andre Ware of the Kansas City Chiefs. He'll be on the call. Good to talk with him. Coming up, let's, that Andre Ware. Coming up, let's talk about the potential meaning of what this game would mean if the Texans won the game. And this is a defining moment potentially for the DeMeco era. We'll discuss that next.